Hi there, and welcome to the Hill to Hill podcast. I'm Emily Prest.
And I'm Armand Barak.
Today we're going to be looking at an issue personal to us and many students across the world, which are the issues associated with unpaid internships. Internships have the chance to set up your future, opening the door for ample opportunities, a strong network, and broadening one's experiences. A 2012 study by the Chronicle for Higher Education found that when it comes to hiring recent college graduates, internships have the most influence in employers' decision-making, thus making them almost mandatory for students to partake in before they enter the actual workforce. Unfortunately, though, some students work up to 40 hours a week at their internships and go without any sort of compensation. The term paid with experience is one frequented by many interns. And while unpaid internships are a great educational experience for students to take advantage of, it isn't a surprise that, in fact, the workplace often takes advantage of the students.
In the United States, it is estimated that there are between 500,000 to 1 million unpaid interns hired each year. Legally, the legality of unpaid internships are described through the Fair Labor and Standards Act and are assessed via a primary beneficiary test, which measures seven factors. Expectation of compensation, if the internship resembles an educational setting, if the internship serves as academic credit, if it corresponds with an academic calendar, the duration of the internship, the extent to which an intern's work complements the work of a paid employee, and the understanding that the internship is conducted without a guaranteed paid job at the end of the internship. In the beginning of 2018, the primary beneficiary test replaced a former six-factor test originally set by the Obama administration in 2010. The six-factor test was argued to be much stricter than the new primary beneficiary test in that before, all six of the factors needed to be met. If they weren't, then the intern was actually considered an employee and entitled to being paid minimum wage.
Under the new primary beneficiary test, the Department of Labor states that these factors are flexible and unique to each internship. The seven factors under this test are instead weighed and balanced against each other, and special circumstances are taken into consideration. Some argue that under this new test, the Trump administration has made it easier for companies to get away with unpaid labor through internships. Prior to these new labor laws being passed, there have been instances in which the legality of internships have been challenged. In 2013, Alex Footman and Eric Glatt, two former unpaid interns that worked on the set of the 2010 film Black Swan with Fox Searchlight, actually filed a lawsuit against the studio, claiming that they were, quote, breaking U.S. law by requiring interns to perform tasks that had little or no educational value for no financial recompense. Some of their internship tasks included making coffee, taking lunch orders, and even cleaning the production office.
Federal Judge William Pauley ended up ruling in their favor, agreeing that the former interns were tasked with work that should have been performed by employees. Fox ended up appealing, but in 2016, the company finally reached a settlement. Anyone that interned for Fox between the years of 2005 and 2010 would receive $495, and the two plaintiffs would receive $7,500 and $6,000 respectively. The court case served as a landmark ruling in the world of unpaid internships and highlights the fact that many of these internships seem to take advantage of aspiring students simply trying to build their network and expand their experiences. In response to the new primary beneficiary test, plaintiff Eric Glatt stated in an interview with the Los Angeles Times that he is not a fan of the legal implications set in place by the new primary beneficiary test. As it gives companies more freedom if they don't want to pay their interns. But he also believes that the test has the potential to make internships that are actually entry-level jobs disappear by calling on companies to improve intern training and educational experiences.
Another sad reality is that unpaid internships are inherently elitist. Only a certain subset of students are able to participate in them, which are those who have the financial means to support their efforts. Students coming from lower-income backgrounds are put at a disadvantage when it comes to wanting to participate in one of these internships. Ross Perlin, author of Intern Nation, How to Earn Nothing and Learn Little in the Brave New Economy, argues that, quote, internships are the face of privilege, restricting opportunities to those able to work for nothing, end quote. Take unpaid internships in Washington, D.C., for example. Last year, Inc. magazine ranked Washington, D.C. the fifth most expensive city in the country, calling for a $90,000 average salary to live comfortably. A Vox article states that the cost of living in D.C. for a summer internship can call for a $10,000 price tag in finding an apartment, travel, professional clothing, metro rides, and food.
$10,000 is a huge investment, and it is unfair for companies and organizations to assume that students can come up with this money easily for a 2-month experience and then not get paid to make up for these lost costs on top of that. Further, CNBC estimates that internships in other expensive cities such as New York City, San Francisco, and Los Angeles could cost as much as $12,986. Big city unpaid internships that have the chance to propel students' careers foster social inequality. These high costs create barriers of entry for lower-income students, making access to these opportunities harder, thus hindering these students from participating in meaningful and worthwhile experiences.
We had the opportunity to sit down with Audrey Henson, CEO and founder of College to Congress, a nonprofit organization that assists low-income students in participating in Washington, D.C. internships by providing financial means and proper training. Through our discussion, we were able to touch on her experience as an unpaid intern, the impacts that had on her life, and legislative options that could be taken. Let's take a listen. Okay, hi Audrey. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today and speaking on the pressing issues associated with unpaid internships. So I just have a couple questions for you today. Do you think you can tell us about your experience as an unpaid intern and how that shaped your outlook on these issues at hand?
Of course, and thank you so much for having me. I first wanted to intern in Congress in 2012. I was a Pell Grant eligible student. I was studying political science and theater, and I was about to graduate debt-free. Unfortunately, I decided to pursue a career in public service. Little did I know, I didn't have any of the things I needed to be successful in that. Yes, I had volunteer experience. Yes, I studied politics, but I didn't come from a family that had wealth, and I didn't come from a family with political connections. And those were really the two biggest barriers that I faced whenever I decided to move to D.C. and work in Congress. I ended up getting lucky enough to network via the computer and LinkedIn to get a job in Congress, or I'm sorry, an internship in Congress. But then I quickly found out it was unpaid, which is why I ended up having to take out over $6,000 in student loans to come work for free. As you mentioned, internships are unpaid. What did that end up doing? Well, I noticed whenever I was working in Congress, first and foremost, there was a lack of women, but there were also a lack of just socioeconomic diversity. So many students who I would talk to, my peers, just had completely unrelatable backgrounds to my own. I'll give you a great example. There was one week where I was asking all my fellow interns, what are you guys going to do this weekend? And one girl's dear friend, so I love her, she hears this. But she's like, I'm taking my dad's jet to the Hamptons this weekend. So if you think about the pipeline of who becomes congressional staff and that these interns go on to become legislative aides, communications directors, and chief of staffs, you have to wonder, why do we have so many barriers at the front end, and what is that doing to legislation and the pipeline of who ends up writing our laws? And that's exactly why I started College to Congress, because I want our democracy to be representative.
Right, yeah, exactly. Do you think there's anything that you think should be done maybe legislatively that in order to rid the unpaid intern crisis?
Yes, yes, and yes. In fact, I don't only think that there should be legislation, but we actively participate in advocating for it. So for the last 2 years, myself and my team at College to Congress, with the help of our lobbying group, have gotten the first ever intern funding on Capitol Hill. So last year, we got about $14 million appropriated. So if you don't come to Congress through a program like mine or the many others that are out there, there's going to be a funding available to students who just do it on their own. This year, that got increased to about $20 million. It's a step in the right direction. It's still not enough, because what it ends up boiling down to is about 1 to 2 paid interns per office. And, you know, you and I were talking prior. You told me you had congressional experience. So, you know, there's way more than 2 interns in each office. In a House office, it can be 3 to 5 a semester. In a Senate office, it can go all the way up to 20. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, our work has been promising. We're seeing great results. I don't know any other group that's gotten a bill passed in less than 3 years, much less 2 bills. So I do think that's exciting, but there's still a lot more work to be done.
Do you have any advice you would give to low-income students that aspire to take part in these internships but might have problems doing so because of the fact that they're unpaid?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think that students who come from backgrounds like mine, we experience different challenges, and therefore we have to react differently too. And so whenever I talk to students, I think, you know, the number one thing I can say is like, grit will get you a far way. Just like working harder than anyone else, being tougher than anyone else, and just like steamrolling your way through it is what's really going to like push you to that next level. Because once you get your foot in the door and you get that internship, it doesn't matter who your mommy and daddy are. It matters how you perform every single day. And if you can show up and be the best performer, then you're going to be the one promoted.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Internships remain as a powerful tool for students to find their footing in environments they might never have had access to otherwise. These experiences and networks are continuously denied to low-income students, and by denying fair wages to interns, these students are put at a greater disadvantage. Income should not be a determinant of who has access to these opportunities. Internship opportunities for students should be both equal and equitable. Further, it is imperative that these interns not be taken advantage of and asked to do more than what is fair without receiving any sort of compensation.
As detailed through discussion with Audrey and with the outcome of the Fox Searchlight suit, there is no doubt that people are taking the issue associated with unpaid internships seriously and that progress has been made. However, as unpaid internships remain a feature of professional environments in the United States, students, especially those coming from lower income backgrounds, will remain at a significant financial disadvantage. Addressing the unpaid internship crisis is a necessary and indispensable step in order to level the professional playing field for all walks of life.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Hill to Hill podcast, addressing one issue at a time.